Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia eSoul. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia eSoul with a range up to 452 kilometres.
1850 715 815.
Hello, good afternoon, and you're very welcome to Liveline. Mary, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
How are you keeping?
Not too bad.
You contacted us about the item we did yesterday about the House of Prayer in Achill Island, and it's also in the United States of America as well. And they have on their website this morning, attack on RTE Liveline. False claims are repeated despite the clarity of the disclaimer beneath. No such thing has ever been said by Christine, and nor do such remarks appear on her website. Now, the issue we kept quoting yesterday from her website was, your world has with it the deepest darkness of hell, the Antichrist, how so many bow down to his power, obviously the Antichrist, yet even more will do so in a short time. You will be called into the suppression and dictatorship of Antichrist. You will be called upon to receive the vaccine that is death, and the mark of the beast will be forced on you. The mark of the beast means, as you know from the book of Revelations, is about if you have the mark of the beast, you've aligned with the devil. Those who receive it willingly, it being the vaccine, will die unto eternity. Death. Now, they're saying at the start of this website now today, no such claims are made. Yet, if you just, and I'll encourage people to do this at home, if you call up the Christina Gallagher website, you'll see many, many revelations. She'll say that as far back as 2002, she predicted the spread of coronavirus. As far back as 2005, she predicted all these natural disasters which are happening at the minute due to climate change, the floods, the fires, and she also said earthquakes she predicted, and this is because people have turned away from God. Your point, please, Mary.
Joe, I phoned in when I heard your line there before before the news came on.
Yeah.
You were quoting from yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
You played Margaret's clip back, and you read out, and even though this is what Margaret rang in to contradict what you had said, and you repeated it again. You said the vaccine will this is what I wrote it down. You said the vaccine will leave you with the mark of the beast, and I just wanted to say that Christina never said the vaccine was the mark of the beast or will leave you with the mark of the beast. Margaret said yesterday the mark of the beast will follow. Now, I just want to say that I was advised, I won't spend very long because I was advised I shouldn't, get involved really with this discussion. But I just want to say that...
So the phrase, that, you will be called upon to receive the vaccine that is death.
Yeah.
And the mark of the beast will be forced upon you. Those who receive it willingly will die unto eternal death. What's your understanding of that?
That doesn't mean that the vaccine is the mark of the beast.
Well, it means the vaccine is death.
No, read that little line again.
You will be called upon to receive the vaccine that is death. And the mark of the beast will be forced upon you. So if you get the vaccine, you are aligning yourself with Satan. It's not your understanding. What is
the mark of the beast? If you get the mark of the beast, you're aligning yourself with Satan.
But if you get the vaccine, you'll get the mark of the beast.
No.
So what's the vaccine got to do with it?
The vaccine, well, what it has to do with it is that the vaccine, in a way, is leading to, people will get used to going, and they'll bring in, I saw this on just a few days ago on, I think it was Fox News or something, that even in America, the government are now talking about this microchip.
What?
And this is a chip, this is a microchip which is going to be put into your hand, and they're going to bring it in as a way of detecting.
And Mary,
virus.
Have you got the vaccination?
Have I got it?
Yes, do you mind me?
No, the vaccine, because I follow the science. Many people will say they follow the science, and if you ask them what the science is, they don't know what the science is.
Well, the science
many
is
doctors, many doctors in Ireland are not giving the vaccine because they follow the science, because they know that it does harm. It's going to harm your body.
Many doctors. Can you name one, please?
Well, I have two of them written down somewhere, but I didn't think you were going to ask me that.
But how does two out
you
of,
were talking to
how does two out of 5,500 medics, GPs, how does two become many?
Well, I think there's 40. Somebody told me it was about 40.
Well, even if there is 40 out of the number of GPs in Ireland. If there's 40 out of 5,500, I'll get the exact figure now in a minute from sir. How does that suddenly become many?
Well, you can call it 40, it doesn't matter. That's neither here nor there.
No. Language, Mary, is here or there.
Well, let me say language,
language can be brilliant.
And
a few is different to many. But as you know, Mary, you believe and you follow.
Yes.
Which is your right, you follow the language and the words of Christina Gallagher. Isn't that correct?
I believe in Jesus and Mary, and I believe that they impart messages to her. But my whole faith is not based on these messages. My faith is based on the gospel, and I attend daily Mass and Holy Communion, and... So, you know, my faith, I'm not a follower of Christina, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ.
Well, St. Francis, no, it's only a matter of time. Pope Francis has got the vaccine.
Yes.
So he's been misled by the scientists, has he?
Well, I cannot speak for him, but he hasn't taken the mark of the beast. That's the important thing. It's important that people will know this microchip that's coming, Joe. Let people know that.
Well, we'll cross that microchipped bridge when we're over it, Mary.
Coming soon enough, you know.
Would Jesus have got the vaccine?
He wouldn't need it because he had no... Jesus was never ill.
Okay, in that sense. But the Pope is infallible and he got the vaccine.
Well, you know, infallible... doesn't mean he's infallible about everything. It's only matters of faith and doctrine and morals and
have you heard Christina say, please take the vaccine?
Please take it?
Yes.
No, why would she say that?
Because most people who are read the signs, follow the signs, say they should. And also...
Not everyone.
Well, the vast majority, 90% of the people in Ireland at this stage have got the vaccine.
Yeah.
So they obviously believe in it. That's a pretty heavy. You'll never get an election with that majority.
Numbers don't make right or wrong. Yeah. Even if 99% gets something or does something, it doesn't mean it's right or it doesn't mean it's right because 99% do it, even if it was that high, which is not.
And do you believe in what Christina says, that all these disasters that have befallen the world, and there's obviously going to be disasters, but they are because it's because people have turned away from Christ?
I've seen many of the things that she said unfold, many of the things that she was told about, and not just Christina, other visionaries from around the world have been told the same type of thing, and we can see what's unfolding in the world.
Okay, Mary, stay with us for a sec. Patricia, good afternoon. You contacted us, and you've got a leaflet in your door this morning. What is that leaflet about, and do you know who it's from?
I have no idea who it's from. It seems to me nobody's taking responsibility for writing it.
Yeah.
But what concerns me about the leaflet, it's going into everyone's doors, right? Certainly in Lough. And the age of the person who lives in the house isn't taken into consideration, obviously. Now, there's one particular area, the battle for your soul. I found it I don't know how I call it. I know I have neighbours in their 80s who can read this and get terrified. Right. This bit here, the battle for your soul, the world of a man-made crisis due to a virus, and powerful people or corporations and the media are leading governments and societies down its cul-de-sac that is anti-freedom, anti-person, anti-family and anti-God. There's now a battle on for their souls. Now, you know people who are very good Catholics. To me, this would really frighten. If they have taken the vaccine, they would believe now. I was listening to yesterday, that's what prompted me to send this in. And this business of the mark of the Satan and all this sort of thing.
Beast, the mark of the beast,
crazy. Yeah. I mean, to me, I find it absolutely crazy.
And it's based around the warning. It's called the Warning of Fatima. And these were were predicted, they say, by Sister Lucia Fatima in, 1917 or whatever.
17, yeah.
Mary, we got this letter in this morning. And Mary, thanks for your time. I appreciate it. I'm contacting you about the House of Prayer, Deirdre, in Achill. I believe they are spreading propaganda and actively encouraging elderly and vulnerable people not to take the COVID-19 vaccine. My mother-in-law is one of these people. She's in her 80s. We are sick with worry because of her decision not to take the vaccine. Her decision not to take the vaccine is solely 100% based on information she has received from a local prayer group and she's a member of. I believe some of the members of this group are avid followers of Christina Gallagher and her teachings in the House of Prayer. I've met some of them briefly and I've seen the literature in my mother-in-law's possession, which was given to her by members of this group. I want to highlight how awful the situation is for us as a family. It's not one or two people in the community, it's quite a large group. I know of at least four people in the group who have refused the vaccine based on these so-called religious teachings. As the country opens back up, these people are now out and about. We as a family have contacted our GP, who's been very helpful in trying to convince my mother-in-law to take the vaccine. Other family members and close friends have also tried, but to no avail. I've drafted an email to the parish priest and the bishop, but I stopped short of sending them for fear of alienating my mother-in-law and for causing trouble for my partner. We are at a loss to know what to do. What do you think will happen if you do ignore the advice of the vast majority of the 2,500 GPs, and that's not, there's many, many more thousand medics who say take the vaccine. What do you think will happen to you if you
do? Are you aware that so many
I want your belief. What do you believe will happen to you?
What I'm saying is, many, many people.
I don't want many, many people. I want Mary people.
Yes,
Mary, what do you think? What do you think will happen to you?
As a result of the vaccine.
No, what do you think will happen to you?
Strokes.
Where? Where is this evidence?
Who have had the vaccine are getting strokes.
What do you think? Well, you see, you're back to your language again. You're back to your language again where you said many doctors in Ireland are not...
You were asking me about the consequences of the vaccine.
And you said many doctors in Ireland. We'll reel back the recording if it was. You said...
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. You're very loose with your language. You said earlier, many doctors in Ireland would not administer
the... Yeah, about 40.
That is less than 0.5% of all the doctors.
Number. Right, okay.
Yeah, okay. Now you're saying, when I said to you, Mary, what do you think will happen to you if you take the vaccine? You start dragging me in.
I'll answer you in a more straightforward way. I would be afraid of blood clots, of getting a stroke or something like that.
Okay.
The reason I would be is because I have heard and read about so many who have had them. I'll put it that way.
Okay.
So it's very dangerous to your health.
Your health is really important.
Yes.
Mary, if you became unwell, unhealthy, so to speak,
yes.
would you
yes.
go to your GP?
For anything, you
for,
mean,
if
for
you
the
felt,
normal.
If you felt sick, yes, if you felt unwell, would you go to your GP?
If it was bad enough, I would. I Google a lot. I haven't been to my GP for 3 years.
Well done. But would you... So you have been to your GP before. You know your GP's name, him or her. Do you trust your GP?
Well, I don't. I have a new GP, so I don't know.
Okay.
I haven't been to him yet, actually.
Let me put it another way. If you were feeling unwell in the unhealthy sense, would you go to Christina Gallagher or would you go to your GP?
Gallagher is not a GP.
Exactly.
So why would
Councillor
go to
Donald Grady is in Killarney Town. What do you want to say, Donald? Please, you're an
independent. Hello, and thanks for having me, Joe. And that lady that's with you there, Mary. I just think that what that lady is saying, I think she's scaremongering. She's scaremongering the people that are out there that, you know, intend getting the vaccine. I have eight grown up children, 28 grandchildren, and I was in almost a year and a half that I didn't see my grandchildren.
Okay.
I got it. You know, I have the vaccine got. I feel much safer. And every one of my grown-up children have got it. Some of my grandchildren have got it. Not one of them felt sick in any way, shape or form. And I think it is our lifeline. It's the only way we're going to get away from this this pandemic that's out there. Mm. The only way we can do it is a vaccine. And all I'm saying is that, lady, it's with you.
Well, how are people who are influenced by Christina Gallagher, and there's a lot of them, like there's a house of prayer in New York, for example, there's a house.
Of course, I've heard quite a lot, you know, back through the years about the house of prayer. I respect it. She thinks what you're doing is right. That's okay. I don't, for one. All I'm saying is that I will listen to science. I will listen to my GP. Mm. I will listen to his advice. And so far, he has done a wonderful job with me and my family and lots of all the families around. I've had friends that died of it. I had friends that didn't believe that thought that there was no such thing. Unfortunately, some of them went away. They didn't get vaccinated. They have now passed on. And their family believe in it now, and they're trying to get the word out that we were as wrong as could be.
Mary, do you know anyone who's died of COVID?
Yeah, I don't know their names now. I can't give you them right now, but I have heard of many. Yeah. But, Joe, I'll just say, a couple of months ago, or maybe six weeks, I repeat again.
Yeah. The House of Prayer are now leading their website today with an attack on us.
Sorry?
Saying, the House of Prayer on their website today.
Yeah.
The top phrase is attack on RT. Liveline, false claims are repeated despite the clarity of disclaimer beneath.
Yeah.
But I'm reading what's on the website. And I'm asking people, how come, what is the interpretation you put on this? And I would rather if Christina would talk to us and say to people whether she is or is not against the vaccine.
But that's a different thing from what you said. You said, the main point that was made yesterday was that you said that Christina said that the vaccine was the mark of the beast.
In fairness, it wasn't Christina who said it was a message from Jesus through Christina.
Yes. Yes,
and she gets messages. Some days she gets messages both from Mary and Jesus.
The vaccine is the mark of the beast. That's very clear.
But it does say you will be called upon to receive the vaccine that is death, and the mark of the beast will be forced upon you. Those who receive it willingly will die unto eternal death. That's on our website.
All of that's true.
Okay, well then you're saying it's not true.
I'm saying what's not true is the vaccine is not the mark of the beast. That's what I'm saying. It's very clear. The vaccine is not the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast, which is a microchip, will be that bring death of the soul, because you will be under complete control when you have that. You'll be under the complete control of Satan once you have that.
A lot of people seem to be under the complete control of Christina Gallagher. Patricia Hayes, Patricia.
Hello, Joe. How are you?
Good, thanks. You're listening to this. And
I certainly am. I wouldn't be concerned about medieval rubbish on websites. What concerns me is that anyone would make an announcement for people not to get vaccinated against this virus, because all the proof and what's happened over the last 17 months proves that the only way to get out of this pandemic is to be vaccinated. And the proof of that is that most of the people in hospital at the moment are people who have not been vaccinated.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just, you
and
see...
It's the only way for us, for people, you know, not to become another statistic of this terrible virus. And I would plead with those people who are family members are up and down the wall over them because they won't get vaccinated. I would say to them, please get your vaccination. If you don't get your vaccination, there's a possibility that it will cost you your life.
Can I come in there on that point?
Yeah,
just two months ago on RTE on the news, it might be less, it might be 6 weeks, I think it's about 2 months ago, I think it was more or less the same evening, I was listening to the news and they were saying that 60% of those in Britain in the hospital and ICU were fully vaccinated, And no, here, one in five was fully vaccinated. Now, that was 2 months ago.
Well, I'd need... Mary, I've already established that you're playing fast and loose with the facts. You really
can
are.
I've no
recollection.
Said on RTE
well,
News.
I'd love... can I have the reference, please? Because if you just... You know, like this... What about this message from Jesus to Christina Gallagher? Lucifer and his many minions, his legions raised upon the earth. His control is at every corner, as is the man-made virus and many more illnesses to strike fear into your heart. Your fear should be for what his army are doing in the one world government of dictatorship and control of all that you own, and especially control of your person to destroy your soul. Now, above that, we have urgent plea for funds. Dear people of God and our Holy Mother Mary, I'm drawing your attention to the grave need for funding towards the new House of Prayer in New York. The building has been purchased. Brilliant. We need financial help to renovate it. I implore you to help so this can be achieved, as Jesus requested such a house for the protection of his people of New York. I beg you, please, hear this plea and respond. And it tells you how to make donations to. You have to make sure it's payable to Our Lady Queen of Peace, House of Prayer in New York. Catherine, your point, please. You listen to Mary.
Thanks, Joe. Yeah, I just want to say a couple of things. First of all, our Christian calling is to love our neighbour as ourselves. And any Christian knows that. And given the pandemic that we've been through, it is about making an informed choice. I respect totally people who don't want to get the vaccine. I have friends who maybe have made that choice, but I equally have friends who have made the choice to get the vaccine. I've been vaccinated myself. And I just want to say that, like, I think it is about loving our neighbour as ourselves and making those informed decisions around the vaccine. It's not about what, a centre of prayer or God says. It's about, you know, saying, let's do the right thing here. Let's, you know, keep the people. We've spent the last 18 months keeping the people we love safe and well. And really, that is our Christian calling. That's the first point that I want to make. The second point I want to make is that your caller there commented that Jesus was never ill. You asked the question, Joe, would Jesus get the vaccine? To which your caller said Jesus was never ill. The theology of Christianity tells us that Jesus was human and divine, and that he suffered humanely in the human sense, in the same way as he suffered. You know, we're told there's nothing that Jesus in his lifetime didn't go through that we as human beings don't go through ourselves. And he was divine as well. So, and I'm not denying the divinity of Jesus. I'm a practicing Christian myself. But I think it's very wrong to assume that Jesus didn't have a cough or a cold or flu in his lifetime. You know, he did, you know, according to scripture, he did incredible ministry. And I'm sure there were times when Jesus maybe felt burned out. Even as a human, he wept at the death of his best friend, you know. So he was very human, you know, in the sense.
First of all, I never said that Jesus didn't suffer. Of course, Jesus suffered the ultimate, more than anybody will ever suffer.
No, you said Jesus never got sick.
And I said he never got ill. Now, that doesn't mean he didn't get tired. He got tired, he got lonely, he got everything.
Yeah, and there's a good chance he could have been ill in his lifetime. There's no scriptural basis to say that Jesus was ill or wasn't ill. We don't know. There's bits of the scripture.
You don't know. But Jesus certainly suffered. Yeah, that's for sure.
He suffered.
And what about the and it's meant not just Jesus, but the love thy neighbour as thyself. You're getting the vaccine not just for yourself, but for your neighbour.
You're doing it for society, the greater good, to make people around you well. You know, the evidence is showing that society is opening
Christina,
up.
Christina claims, again on her website, she claims credit for everything. Christina was told by Jesus on July the 25th, 2021, this is from her website again, and you would see storms, disasters and weather extremes drawn down upon the world through sin increase in number and multiply in their intensity, with earthquakes which cause great loss of life. And then she has photographs from Belgium, Luxembourg, Germany, Netherlands, US.
Well,
She's saying it's unfolding because of sin. Thank God we are an unblemished nation, because we haven't had earthquakes, we haven't had fires where people died. thank God. We haven't had floods where people have drowned and
have we not?
Nursing homes been swept away in the middle of Germany.
Yeah, and
so
Joe,
she's saying
say
all
that,
those people in that nursing home that were swept away, swept to their death in Germany 3 weeks ago, they were sinners.
No,
can I
That's
just
what
say,
she's
Joe,
saying.
We are sure, these disasters
will befall the world through sin. Through
yeah.
sin. Belgium,
sin
Luxembourg, Germany,
who,
Netherlands.
Who suffers in the disaster is a sinner.
Okay, stay with us, please.
Sorry, Joe, can I just say that we are stewards of creation. You know, again, that's part of our Christian calling. And creation is everything from the tiniest insects to the human person. And we all have an onus, you know, on everything, you know, to do the right thing and to not kind of, you know, I suppose, as I said, yeah, to do the right thing, to care for one another.
Yeah, well,
if we're
sure
of
okay,
Mary,
to be fair, Mary, I'll let you answer that question in full after the break.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815. Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
By the way, Mary, and I'm not going to get into a row about this, but Sir Patrick Vallance, who's a British medic, he's the one who incorrectly said, he admitted it himself, he corrects mistake where he said 60% of people admitted to hospital with coronavirus are unvaccinated. He didn't say that. He corrected it lately. Later, Mary. You see, the reason why we're doing this, and the reason why I thank you for contacting us, is that a lot of people are enthralled. A lot of older people, especially, are enthralled to Christina Gallagher. She has houses. She has houses of prayer in Texas, in Minnesota, in Florida. In New York, you see, I read out the appeal for money. So you need money to build them. She's an incredible complex in Ackle, as you know. And she has, and this has been detailed in other fora, she is a private property of immense assets. And people do follow Christine. It's not the problem. Now, if Christina would come on and say, I never said, as our website is saying at the start, but then contradicting it further on, false claims are repeated despite the clarity of disclaimer beneath. And we're into that situation again. Mary, you mentioned at the start that somebody phoned you to say, don't go on Liveline.
A friend of mine was advising me not to get involved in it, so I said I had already given them.
And do you believe?
I had committed to your producer.
Yeah, very
there,
good.
I
appreciate that.
And I knew he was already on this phone,
okay.
And I was on the other phone.
Okay.
So,
and Mary, do you believe that Christina Gallagher is receiving messages from Jesus and Mary? And
100%. Joe, there's over 700 miraculous healings. And this is the thing that should be emphasized.
And does the Pope, for example, receive
those? The miracles
Pope receive those messages?
Also, I just want to say an answer. You didn't let me answer what you said there before.
Okay.
People are not following Christina as much. They're following Our Lady. Our Blessed
but
Lady
you believe
is there.
Christine, you believe when Christina said, Our Blessed Lady and our
Jesus.
Lord has sent me this, the following message, and she then puts it up on her website. You believe they are the words of Our Lady, Queen of Heaven, and
Jesus Christ.
Well, all
the messages that she has received, she couldn't make them up.
Let me say, okay, people write this down.
Yeah.
Joe Duffy said on August the 18th, 2021, that there will be storms and earthquakes and there will be forest fires and natural disasters and building collapses all over the world within the next 12 months. And 12 months hence, I hope I don't have to, but 12 months hence on this day, on this day in 12 months, I will be able to stand up here in this studio as I now am. And I'll be able to say, didn't I tell you? Didn't I tell you 12 months ago this we will be struck down?
Yeah, well, she said a lot of things a long time before.
Joe Duffy is talking bull when he does that. And Christina isn't far behind. Josephine in Kildare, Josephine.
Joe, you're saying something and you're not letting me answer.
Okay.
For example, about Christina's prediction.
Yeah.
One of the things, for example, was, you know, the Twin Towers in New York. She said 2 years to the day.
No, we know that.
To the very day. So you know all those. So those are the things that you should.
No, we did it. We did this before because we have a tranche of listeners who are really worried about their parents being enthralled to Christina Gallagher.
And
Christina Gallagher,
we've done.
I'm trying to research this now in my little brain here, which is totally fallible, going back 10 years. I'm trying to research. And remember, we did this whole thing about Christina predicting the Twin Towers because of the sins of the world. And we discovered that it was Christina saying she had predicted. Josephine.
There were two or three witnesses, judges, attorneys, and other people.
Well, then give me the lotto numbers for Saturday, Christina.
Josephine,
you went to the House of Prayer.
I did, Joe, yeah.
And
Joe, can I just ask you one thing here?
Yeah.
If your predictions are right, are you going to charge for them? Are you going to go into this business where you will make a hell of a lot more money than you are in RTE?
And what was your feeling then when you got that? You think it's about money. You've been to the House of Prayer. Tell me.
I have. And I honestly, to be honest with you, not only are we dealing with COVID, we are dealing with absolute stupidity, and to think that people who
tell me about your visit to the House of Prayer.
I went out of sheer curiosity, and actually went back again just to give myself a deeper insight into what the heck was going on. But I went in, and anyway, there was preaching of this and preaching of that, and everybody who had an illness that was given to them by the devil, and all the predictions and all the times Our Lady had given Christine these messages. And I thought, oh, sweet divine God, you know, God cured people when he was on earth. But by God, he didn't charge them, or he didn't live in the sin. But
okay. We'll try and get a better. We will get a better line. John is in Longford. Tell us what happened.
All right. Well, I don't know anything about Christine Gallagher or any of that, what you're talking about. I heard a man saying about getting leaflets in the door with misinformation on it about the vaccines. Now, I don't have the leaflet with me now. I'm out in the car.
Okay.
But I do remember what it said. Like, it said that, like, this vaccine is unsafe. Like, this vaccine has not been proven to work. You know, this vaccine has serious side effects. It says this vaccine will not be fully approved by the FDA or the CCC until 2023.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know where they got that. Like, where did they get it won't be fully approved until 2023? It also said to look at the VAERS, the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System in the USA, and it said to look at the UK Yellow Card System, which has adverse effects from vaccines. And it said that the only reason that it's actually in use is because it's under emergency use authorization.
Well,
now,
that's correct.
It is
an experimental vaccine. It hasn't been yet approved. That's correct.
Sorry to interrupt there. It also said that the pharmaceutical companies have zero liability for any of the side effects that come out of this vaccine. I don't know if any of them things are true or not.
In fairness, the government has indemnified because we need the vaccine. Has indemnified, and the government have made this. Governments all over the world have made this decision. But we presume Christina would say all the governments all over the world are part of a global conspiracy.
Why have they made that decision?
I don't know. Why is Christina Gallagher taking, it's not unusual.
Do you think, Joe, did they make that decision because the vaccines are unsafe and they're not authorized for use until 2023?
So the companies didn't
want to release them for fear of the liability.
Okay, I take your point.
Maybe you can fact check them things, Joe.
Yeah, we will. Well, I think most people in this day and age are pretty, especially on COVID.
I know, but you've got a great voice in the nation.
Okay, well, that's why we're letting people on to express their worries about what Christina Gallagher, in her many houses of prayer throughout the world, is saying, because as we know in Ireland, she has a significant number of followers, including priests. And as we know in Ireland, the Catholic Church has basically decided, the hierarchy has basically decided, they're more interested in communion, which is an important sacrament, but a movable sacrament, unlike funerals, for example. But the hierarchy in Ireland are more interested in talking about communions and what was the phrase, the bash at the Marian, than talking about why people should turn away from Christina Gallagher's nonsense. Josephine,
Joe, that point on the experimental vaccine is very important. That is a fact. That it's not an a fact. Experimental it's
not
vaccine.
A fact. Not a fact.
You can
not
look up and get not the information.
Not a fact. Josephine,
on that.
Why did you get the smell of money in the House of Prayer in Achill?
Oh my God, it was just so evident. Poor, like, vulnerable people, and the throwing money into this box, that box, the other box, in the hope that they would get some relief from their suffering or whatever was going on in their lives. And then we were told Our Lady had asked that the altar be ablaze with light, so people were to light candles, and there were, so naturally we said, right, okay, we're here, we get the candles and we light them for our family members and so forth. So we were told then, don't light them, just leave them at the base of the altar and they will be lit when the other candles have burnt out. So we hung around and what the heck are they doing? Mm. You know, and there was this young girl with the box taking the candles from the bottom of the altar, just the underneath it, and bringing them back out into the shop, obviously to sell them again. So I thought, the Lord, and I actually challenged them and I said, look, I've actually seen what's going on. I put 5 candles there. They were €1 each. Can I have my €5 back? Because obviously my candles are not going to be lit there and this is an absolute farce. Well, I got, what for? And how dare I question this, that and the other? And I was irreverent and I was blah, blah, blah. So I said, look, can I just have my money back?
Yeah, but in fairness, Josephine, it has been, like, that's why Martin Luther got his hammer and nail in October, what was it, 1517, and hammered him into with his 95 teeth into the door at the church in Wittenberg. It was because of things like the church and money and indulgences.
Joe, so it's always can I say, I've been going to Achill for many years. I've never once been asked for money. There's no collection basket or box goes around like in a church.
I would disagree completely.
There is a shop and it's online.
Also two very big houses in Newport. You know, I mean...
And like, Mary, I know you've never been asked. You say you've never... Have you ever given money?
Well, if I want to give a donation, I can give a donation. I've never been asked.
I know that. But have you ever given a donation?
Well, that's neither here nor there, okay. Joe.
But if so, why if Christina Gallagher is just imparting the message of speeches from Our Lady and Our Lord, why does she need money?
Well, Joe, you know what it takes to run a house. To run anything, it has property tax. There's all the expenses of running a house. There's running the same as running a church. There's the light. There's the heat. Everything has to be paid. But where does that money come from? The shop helps a lot. There's a little shop there where just the same as in the back of many of the churches where people buy things. But it doesn't run on fresh air. So. That's what it needs money, a small amount, whatever money is required for that. But people are not asked to give money.
Josephine.
Can I ask Mary, who actually maintains all of Christine's houses? For instance, we saw 2 huge houses in Newport. How many houses can you live in? And she said that Our Lady said she needed places of rest. Now, come on, like, who is Mary and those people trying to fool?
And to think that they would even comment on the COVID and the vaccines, what experience or knowledge or training or anything do they have to influence whether somebody gets the vaccine or they don't? How many people have died as a result of COVID? I know plenty of people.
Over 4 million, over 4 million on God's earth.
Yeah. Died. And then Mary Gallagher.
And how many have died from getting the vaccine?
Let's be realistic here, Mary. That's absolute nonsense.
The information is available.
It's nonsense
if you want it.
How many houses can you live in? And I mean, honest to goodness, I cannot believe that there are so many people who are so naive that they would go along with the likes of Christine Gallagher and finance her to the extent that she's being financed. It's appalling. Anybody with any cup on whatsoever would realise that this is a total farce. She has no right to comment on whether I decide to get a vaccine or I don't decide to get a vaccine or what it's going to do to me, whether I'm going to hell, heaven or anywhere else as a result of getting it. It's absolute utter waste of airspace and pure stupidity. And it's vulnerable people that we are affecting here. It's absolutely vulnerable people that you see in places like that. And you will not go somewhere without, putting in a donation. And sure, you know, people have sold up their properties. And
we know that. We know that and left money in their wills and whatever.
Yeah, absolutely.
Mary,
I
know you're very good and appreciate your time. Do any of your family support Christina? Believe that the message that Christina does speak the words of our Lord and our Lady?
Yes, they do, yeah.
Okay.
Have
any of them taken the vaccine or is it the same all over in your family?
Well, some of them haven't.
Some of them have.
Haven't. I don't know if any of them have, but I know that some haven't. Married brothers and sisters don't have. But the important thing is that Our Lady wants people to pray the rosary. So it's so important to get out that message that the world, the state of the world that we're in, and it's important to pray, and you pray constantly and pray the rosary. And,
some of the items in the shop now are quite expensive. I don't know whether you've been in the
shop.
Yeah,
absolutely. We don't need Christine to tell us how to pray the rosary.
Picture with great promise, scooped frame. That's €250 for collection only. There's a picture with great promise, ornate frame. That's €250. A metal set, €110. Well, okay. Does the medals, by the way, in the Vatican shop, according to one of our listeners last week, are €2.50. What do you think of the Pope, Mary?
Me?
Yes.
What do I think of the Pope?
Yeah, do you believe he is the leader of the Catholic Church on earth?
Oh, no, what does that to do with the vaccine or the House of Prayer? He is the leader of the Catholic Church, yes. He's the Pope.
And how would you, insofar as you want to ask, how would you describe, are you a member of any religious grouping? Are you a Catholic? Are you a Protestant?
I'm a Catholic.
You're a Catholic. So if you're a Catholic, you believe in the fact that the Pope is St. Peter's representative on earth?
Yes.
Okay. And would you believe the Pope before you believe Christina?
It's not a matter of one or the other.
Well, the Pope got the vaccine and Christina didn't. Well, maybe Christina did. I'd love to find out about that.
Friends of
maybe
mine
Christina
didn't get it,
did.
Some did. So it's not a matter of believing them. I believe that, I'll just finish off because I have to go, that okay. I believe that Jesus and Mary that are speaking through Christina Gallagher, and she has a very important message for the world, and the House of Prayers are a place of reparation.
For example, when the Pope says, Pope Francis has said things like it when he was asked about people who are gay, he said, who am I to judge?
Yeah, well, nobody should judge anybody. Okay. We know that. So nobody should be judging Christina Gallagher or anybody
else. Christina Gallagher, our whole website is riddled with judgment.
No, it's not.
And I tell you why. Exactly, I tell you why, yeah. Mary. Her whole website says everything that's been visited on the world in terms of calamity and pestilence and virus and flood and fire and melting and earthquakes and natural disasters and old people being swept away by floods in their nursing home in Germany. That is caused by sin. There's judgment. There's some. That's some judgment.
That's some judgment.
What is it?
That's a fact.
Okay.
You know, there's something coming to the world, and you will see it, and you will understand, and you will know. There's such a thing as an illumination of conscience, and many visionaries around the world have been told about it. Okay. It's called another word for it. It's a warning, the illumination of conscience. When everybody at the same time is going to see themselves as Jesus sees them, as God sees them, and everybody will understand everything about the house of prayer then, as they'll understand everything
I've got the vaccine, Mary. As you know, I'm deeply, deeply sceptical, not just of Christina Gallagher, but I'm deeply, deeply upset by older people, older vulnerable people following her and believing her and not getting the vaccine. What is going to happen to me?
What's going to happen to you? Listen, I'm going. Goodbye and God bless.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815. Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
Maybe Christina can help us find a silver Toyota Yaris reg number 131D for Delta 5093. A silver Toyota Yaris reg 131D 5093. And we don't do this often for obvious reason, the number of cars that are stolen every day, but we've been contacted by Michael O'Reilly. Michael, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. Good afternoon, and thanks a lot for taking me a minute. Thanks a lot for taking me a call, Joe.
And what happened, Michael?
What happened? They brought me every day on last Saturday morning about 9:15 down to South Circle. I know South Circle Road.
In Dublin,
Dublin, and they're beside the stadium there. And then there's a place called Harris.
The rental company.
And I dropped them out there to collect these, to rent their car for 4 days, you know.
Okay.
And and I went. He went in there, you know, and the building next door was blocking the middle of the gate. So I went out. I went in to tell him I'm blocking the gate. I left the car. And I went in to tell him in the rental company, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And when I came out, unfortunately, I left the keys in the car. Unfortunately, they thought about 9:30 in the morning, wouldn't think your car got stolen, you know.
And the car's gone.
Car's gone. Yeah, there was a fella. The bank guard had it on the screen. They went, no, do you have the camera all around there, you know?
Yeah.
And the fella was across the road at the wall. But he must have, the bank guard said, I don't really, probably robbed them. Bagged that out of the cars, you know what I mean? When they went up, they went up to collect the cars, you know? But he came out and walked across and robbed my car.
It's a silver Toyota Yaris, which is a very small. It's a two-door. Some of them are four-door. Is it two-door?
Four-door, thanks very much.
Silver Toyota Yaris, reg number 131D. Would people scribble this down if they're pulled in?
Yeah, thanks a lot, Joe.
5093. But why is it so... every car is... But it is only a car, Michael.
I know, but Joe, there's a broken heart. I'm crying last Saturday. I'm crying Sunday, and I'm crying Monday, and I'm crying on Tuesday. I was out yesterday looking for it for 7 hours. I went to the bus now yesterday, and I went there and I was looking for it for 7 hours, you know, all around the town, all around the town,
And is it just the car, or what was in the car, Michael?
My pension book was in the car, my driver licence, my post office book, was a few hundred bill. £450 in the post I was doing. There's a few other things in there. There was a few pairs of three pink pictures and all in the Joe, you know. That doesn't matter. I'm not worried. I just want the person that took it, but he just tell me where it is to keep everything else. Just need to tell me where my car is. I just want my car back. You know, that's all I want.
Michael, how long have you had the car?
I bought it 2 years ago, Joe.
Go ahead. Your name is
My name is Susan.
The car?
Yeah, well, my name is Susan. To say I bought it before 30 minutes, buying the car at Toyota there, you know.
Sorry, you named the car Susan.
Yeah, that was her name, Susan. Yeah,
I know people give. Why'd you call her Susan?
Just to know your nick, call you the name
you like, okay.
Yeah, the name left from Joe, yeah.
But Michael, if you've been you walked 7 hours yesterday alone.
Seven hours, yes. I went to all over. Can I give the director where I walk? Can I give you?
Yeah, please do.
I went to Rackar. I went to Leinster Road, all around there. I went to different places. I left the house at 9:15 yesterday morning, and I got the bus down. I walked down to town, I got home at 3:50 yesterday afternoon. I was out for about 2 hours. I'm broken hearted.
Michael, have you been attached to previous cars?
Yeah, I have. I tell you all the time.
And what age are you now?
I'm just 80. I'm 80 years of age, Joe.
So you were born when?
22nd of 1942.
Okay. During the emergency.
When did you
get your first car, Michael? By his Toyota Yaris 131D
5093. I used to drive Toyota vans all the time. I used to buy them Black Rock, Cadillac Kings of Black Rock, you know. I used to buy them all the time up there. I'm moving on.
And have other people been out looking for the car? The guards?
The guards, Lynn, Van Guard, the three guards come up there. When she had the car go up, they were up about 20 minutes after it. They came up to the place where he got robbed. And the fella dropped the Van Guard and he went around to put the helmet on. And he went around all the streets. He must thank him, that guard's all that. They went around for an hour in the Jeep there, looking all around. Went to Bluebell, Black, Orange, Car, all the places around there. And they left the Van Guard with me. She went upstairs to have a look at the camera, you know. Right. And the camera wasn't very clear.
How much is the car worth? I know it's priceless for you.
I paid 14,000 pounds for it, Joe.
But what's it worth now?
It's probably worth about six or seven thousand. Doesn't matter. You know, it's not the thing. Just want to get to a twinkle shoes.
And have you paid off the credit union loan?
Yeah.
Have you? Okay.
Well, I'm still paying £75. I pay £75 a week, Joe.
Okay.
After loans, you know. Terrible sad. Broken hearted.
But do people say, now, Michael, you're 79. You're not to be getting upset about a car.
I know, but Jesus, Joe, when you have a little car, that's all I have. That's all I have.
And did you like it? Was it nice to drive?
I love it, Joe. You want to see it. I used to be every morning. You'd be seeing it outside my house every morning. I'd be checking the water now. And I'd do all the different things, Joe. And it's not there now. I sit outside the car all the time. I'm sitting on my wheelchair. And I do be looking at the car. I'm like, what am I going to say? And the cars are doing everything they can.
Your daughter's been on as well, Lisa.
Yeah, Lisa, that's what your daughter's done, yeah.
Maybe you'll try and get... I've another break to take, I have, haven't I? Let's try and get Lisa and we'll...
Yeah, Lisa, I'll put you on to Lisa, Joe.
And you know what your daughter says about you, you should have called your car Lisa, because she loves you.
Yeah.
She said, my dad is one of the loveliest men you could meet. He is so well known in his local community, and he's always there in his little car to help out his family, his friends, his neighbours.
My wife has to go to the hospital. My wife had a heart attack about 2 or 3 years ago. I had to keep her to bring her down to the hospital, James Street Hospital, you know. My wife's name is Rita.
And you brought her down in the car?
Yeah, well, they do bring her down when they're in the hospital. I ring up to tell her to come down, you know.
Okay, so
I know.
It's a Toyota Yaris, a silver Toyota. Is there any stickers or anything on it? Have you?
No.
Silver Toyota Yaris, reg number 131D for Delta 5093. Silver Toyota Yaris. Stay with us, Michael. Have you someone there with you, Michael?
My daughter's beside. She's quiet. She wrote it for Lisa. Yeah, my daughter beside me, Joe.
Put Lisa on to me then.
Well, look, thanks a lot, Joe. Thanks a million. Yeah. This is Joe.
I'll stay there. I'll come back on to you in a sec. Don't worry.
Lisa. Thanks a lot, Joe. Thank you. Bye-bye. Putting you on.
Hello?
Why is your dad so upset about a car, Lisa?
It was his baby. And I think it's a shock. He's actually disappointed in himself that he...
He's annoyed that he left the keys.
He's very disappointed.
Yeah, but what was he doing on Saturday morning? He was helping somebody.
He's always given lifts. He's always on the call. He's on call for everybody. So you could ring him any time and he'd jump and that. It was just unfortunate that he ran in to tell my cousin that the car, he was moving the car and he left the keys in it for literally a few minutes. It was one of those things, you know what I mean? But it's just heartbroken. We're after me now, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. I was out from this morning for 3 hours, driving all around Drimna, Mount Talent, everywhere. He keeps, and every silver car, he keeps it. He's going to give himself a heart attack.
I know, that's what I was going to say. As he walked around corners on a 7-hour trek yesterday, what does he, if he sees a Toyota Yaris and he thinks it's his, isn't Danny? Well.
Okay, if you could put it out there. Yeah,
he's after putting it out there. Stay with us, Lisa. We'll be back after this.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815. Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
It's a silver Toyota Yaris, a four-door, registration number 131D 5093. It was whipped off Michael O'Reilly last Saturday morning on the South Circular Road. He was doing a favour, bringing somebody down to collect a rental car at Hertz there. He brought them in, sorted them out, and he didn't want to park his car because he was blocking somebody permanently, so he left the keys in it. But in the few minutes that he was inside, he came out and the car was gone. But Lisa, I've never heard someone so attached to their car.
It's just he just gets attached to it now because he saved for it and then he ended up having, he saved so much and then he borrowed a bit for it out of credit union and he's 80 years of age, Joe, I suppose. You know, he's retired. So
Does he drive it every day?
Yeah. Yeah, he goes around a few charity shops during the morning and he's there to drop us or for anything we need doing, he'll do. So he's just, and I think it's the shock and it's the disappointment in himself for leaving the keys in it as well hasn't helped. So he's just in shock and we're just terrified that he'll have a heart attack walking the streets. I went down to him, he was out this morning at 9 o'clock. My sister went to find him, to bring him down to Harold's Cross. Yeah. She had a few words from him saying, get in the car. He doesn't want us to drive him around because he doesn't want to bother us because we've families and kids and that. Yeah. So, look, if anyone sees even a couple of he has this thing, it's parked outside someone's house. Police haven't said it hasn't been burnt out as far as we know. We've rang the pound. We've put it on Facebook. We've put it everywhere.
If that happens, we don't want that to happen.
You know what I mean? We rang the insurance company and now he's not insured because the key was in it. So. He's no comeback there, and now he's going to be paying a loan. So it's just all he wants is a car back. It doesn't matter if it's damaged or anything else.
Because the insurance company have said no claim because he left the keys in it accidentally.
Yeah. Your keys have to be on you in person or in a safe place. Because I rang them yesterday.
And it's put him back on if you can. How is he? Is he okay there?
He's all right there. Yeah, okay. I'll come back on.
Put him back on just for a sec. Yeah, have another break.
Hang on.
Yeah.
Joe, thanks a million.
How long have you been insured?
Yes, Joe.
How long have you been insured for? How long have you been driving?
I've been driving the last 50-odd years.
Fantastic. Have you ever had a claim in before?
No, never. No claims in before. Never.
Never,
before,
never,
Joe.
Never.
No.
Never.
Never, Joe. Thanks.
And now the insurance company are saying because you left the keys in the car, which is probably worth about 5-6 grand at this stage.
I know, another, yes, Joe. Thanks.
They're saying good luck.
Yeah.
You've no claim.
Yeah.
That's a bit unfair, is it?
A bit unfair. I thought they would have some compensation for the thing for the people that lost.
And
the minute
you rang them, Michael, did you say I left the keys in the car?
Hang on, Lisa talked to me. Hang on.
Oh, she was
too upset.
Too upset.
Joe, sorry. What did you ask him?
I'm just saying, knowing how honest he is and how decent he is. I know you rang, and one of the first things you said was he left the keys in the car.
No, what happens is when the guards come out, they take
the crime
report. So I rang the guard because we couldn't get word out of him over the weekend. He's been crying since Saturday. So I rang the guard and spoke to him. He said he left the keys in it.
Okay, well, he did, obviously. So
honesty is the best policy.
Yeah, here.
You know, you get no luck for
but
not being honest.
But he's had an insurance policy for half a century. 50 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, I rang the guy, I suppose, yes, it was very nice.
They are nice, yeah.
In the small detail, you know what I mean? There was nothing they could do. We even asked for a rental car, and they said no, they couldn't give a rental car because he left the keys in it. So it's probably good advice for anybody else out there that might think, I'll only be a minute.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
It just goes to show you, nothing short.
Well, you tell him we'll put it out today in the programme. I'll put it out tomorrow in the programme if I have to. Is that okay?
Oh, thanks very much. He really appreciates it.
And the car
He's
is called...
Here.
And the car is... Why, Lisa, why is the car called Susan? Is it called Susan?
Yes, Susan, yeah.
But
he used to call. He used to call his other car Petronella because she used to eat petrol. So we got rid of that. That was a.
And did his car always have names?
Yeah, he always had a name for everyone.
Okay, put him back on to say goodbye. Please.
Hang on, all right. Thanks very much, Joe. Okay, really appreciate it. Thanks a million. Bye. Yeah.
Bye, Joe. Listen, thanks a million for everything, really, okay. Joe. Thanks.
So you called this car Susan. The previous car was Petronella.
Yeah,
what did you have previous other cars with names on them?
I had other vans.
Well, tell us, what names can you remember?
Oh, no, I can't remember, Joe. I'm struggling. So, listen, thanks, Joe. Listen,
okay, Michael, yeah, you're very good. You mind yourself.
Okay. Bye-bye, thanks a lot. Okay. Bye-bye, thanks.
Good
have a nice
person.
Day. Bye-bye,
you
thanks.
Too, good person. Silver Toyota Yaris, Reg, 131D5093. Please, if you tweet, if you Facebook, if you're having to go walking your dog this afternoon, we presume it's somewhere around Dublin. Hopefully, it's a little car, little Susan is its name, though it doesn't answer to that name. But it's a little car, and if you see it, can you imagine the joy you would bring into Michael's heart if you're able to ring us and say, Joe, the car is sitting somewhere. Okay.
Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815. Talk to Joe on 1850 715 815.
And joe@rt.ie. The reg number again, Silver Toyota Yaris, reg number 131D5093. Patrick Osborne, this is an incredible story. Patrick, during the lockdown, you decided to set up a Facebook group. Okay?
Indeed,
how are you,
yeah.
Patrick? You well?
Good, and yourself, Joe?
That's good. And you, there's many stories. But one of them... Patrick mentioned that he was born in 1942, on the 22nd of the 4th, 1942. But on the 16th of September, and it would have been still in the news because of such a disaster, and in September 1941 was the biggest single disaster, casualty-wise, ever to hit the Irish Army. Now, how did you find out about this? Because I'd never heard about it. Tell us, you set up your Facebook group, and what happens?
That's it. Right, well, now, I'm not that old. I was born in 1971.
So
we were, something to do, because we had a lot of relations, yeah, relatives that were elderly and stuff, you know, and we said, look, wouldn't it be a great way that they could all get together via Facebook and whatever, and swap pictures and stories and... So the family, we trace them back, and there's one particular part of the family is the Harton family. So we've lots of cousins, scattered all over the place.
Okay.
But so I remember my dad telling me stories. So my grandfather was a fella called Frank Osborne, and he lived in Summerhill in Dublin city centre. And his father was on manoeuvres in 1941 with the army. And at that time, obviously, it was the emergency, and the Irish Army were very fearful that the Germans might invade.
Okay. So this is in the Glen of Amal in County Wicklow.
That's right.
A party of 60 gunners.
Correct. And they were practicing on how to disarm mines. They were working on a thing called a butter box mine.
Okay.
So the butter, made out of a butter box, basically, and packed with gelignite, I think about 25, 26 pounds of gelignite.
Right.
Now, this thing could blow up tanks and it could blow up bridges and everything. So part of the safety thing was you'd have a party of 30 people would walk on it, and then the next set of gunners would be at a distance, behind kind of mounds of earth.
Yeah.
So anyway, there was a tragic explosion, and I think 15 of the lads were killed immediately, and a 16th man died probably the following day. And a lot of there was three other lads, I think, left permanently blind and all. Massive casualties and so forth. So my grandfather said it was down there, and next of all, the military police came to call to the grandmother's tenement in Dublin to say about the bad news about the husband after being killed. So that was it. So they did their business, told her the husbands that had been killed. So a wake was organised with all the neighbours and the whole lot. And there was no insurance, as you know, back then for a lot of people. So there was a bit of a hoolie developed. And lo and behold, in walks in the door that night was the grandfather.
Who they thought had been killed in the Glen of Armagh.
Who they thought had been blown up.
But not only had they thought, they were having his wake.
The military police had come and informed him. And
they
and
said, give us his name again.
My grandfather was Frank Osborne.
So the military police came and told all his family.
Mr. Osborne your husband is in the Irish Army, down in manoeuvres in the Glen of Armagh. She said, well, he's after being blown up, you know.
He's dead.
But what happened was, there was a lad called James Osborne, lived around the corner, no relation.
Wow.
Literally around the corner. And that man, unfortunately, had lost his life.
Wow.
So when my grandfather comes into the house, he sees a big hoolie going on. And he's shouting and roaring, thinking they're all having a party. And what kind of a woman did he marry? This is, as at 1941. And
because he survived, but he's just been through this incredible trauma.
He wasn't part of the of that explosion. He just happened to be on manoeuvres in the same area.
Okay, and but 15 of his comrades
immediately had been killed, and I think another lad.
10 more suffered horrific injuries.
Oh, horrific injuries! Yeah, lifelong injuries, and a couple of the, as
that
you can
was
imagine,
80 years ago next month.
Yeah. And it's as far as I know, it's still the single biggest tragedy for the Irish Army. Yeah,
since
horrendous.
Since it was set up, effectively. Since the Civil War, the Irish Army was in existence in the Civil War, and there were but 15 men. I never heard of this. 80 years ago next month, 15 soldiers of our army, including 4 young officers, died instantly in that accidental explosion in the Glen of Amal. Their body parts and personal effects scattered over a wide area. And the only reason we've discovered about this is because your family set up a Facebook group and somebody told the story of your father who was being waked. Sorry, the grandfather
that was being waked.
But he walked into his own wake.
Yeah, and some of the women ran out of the room and all, as you can imagine. Back in the day, people were a bit more superstitious and stuff, and they thought they'd seen a ghost, and he thought there was a big party on behind his back, kind of, that he was off working hard, you know, down the corridor, down the Glen of Amal.
Is there any memorial to these men?
There is, yeah, there is a memorial. I was doing a small bit of research.
Well done.
Yeah, and as I said, look, a tragic event, and as I said, it had repercussions for the rest of them men's lives, obviously, the lads that were, you know, severely injured and so forth. But
did the men who survived with those horrific injuries and other injuries, did they get pensioned off? Did they get paid?
Yeah, as far as I know, they were very, very well looked after.
Right,
I think the three of them are permanently blinded. But
God.
When you research it more, there's a lot more tragedy to the story even beyond that.
Okay.
You know, there was, like, as I said, they're really affected by war, if you like, or you know, an explosion or something. They had trauma for a lifetime. But as far as I know, they're really, really looked after. But just one of those stories, as I said. So, as I said, on the back of that Facebook post, a group that I set up, we've uncovered some amazing stories.
And look, and you've sent us this. In January 1943, these are the three men who were blinded in this explosion in the Glen of Amal 80 years ago. McNamara, Ward and Delaney travelled to England, where they were admitted to St Dunstan's Industrial Training School, known today as the Blind Veterans College in the UK, a charity for to care for the increasing numbers of soldiers set up in the First World War, blinded on the Western Front. The trio received rehabilitation training and lifelong care at the expense, obviously, of the Army in St Dunstan's.
Yeah.
And the following year, McNamara and Ward were employed as civilian switchboard operators in St Brickin's Hospital there in Arbour Hill in Dublin, while Delaney commenced training as a physiotherapist. Pat McNamara was also employed as a switchboard operator at Kildare. I'd love to know what happened to those men afterwards and their families.
Yeah.
It's an incredible story. I'm over time. Patrick, we're going to come back to this. Well done, by the way.
Thanks very much.
Okay. The reg number of Michael O'Reilly's car he named Susan is the silver Toyota Yaris Reg 131D 5093. I don't, looking at the listeners and the Twitter trending everywhere, find Susan. I don't think as many people have been invested in the story for a long, long time. Can we find relatively, it's priceless to Michael, a Toyota Yaris stolen last Saturday in Dublin, 131D5093. Catherine Thomas is next.
Liveline on RTE Radio 1 with a Kia eSoul. Going electric? Stop wondering and start driving. The Kia eSoul with a range up to 452 kilometres.
1850 715 815. Stays open until 3:15 p.m. or email joe@rte.ie.